Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Dream Big Podcast with Bob Goff and Friends. I'm Scott Schimmel, your host, and I'm here to introduce you to a conversation that Bob has with musician Tim Timmons. It's a great name. Makes me laugh every time. Tim Timmons, you're going to enjoy for a few reasons. One, he's extremely relatable, down to earth, funny, full of wit, full of charm. He's also really wise, particularly around the conversation that they get into about being present and being filled with wonder with the present moment. Tim's got a fascinating story that they dig into with a cancer diagnosis and being on borrowed time. And I know it's kind of a maybe an age-old metaphor. What would you do if you knew that you only had a little bit of time left? How would that change things? But it's an oldie but a goodie. It helps me clear out the deck, move away the trivial things, the things that don't matter, and focus on the things that do. Focus on the dreams, focus on the relationships, focus on being present with other people. So you're going to enjoy the content. You're also, I think, going to enjoy the relationship that Bob and Tim have had for years. And just to be in their fellowship, their friendship is a gift as well. So this is Bob's conversation with Tim Timmons.
Tim, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast. It's great to see your face.
Good to see your face.
I think the last time we were within arm's reach of each other, we were on a boat.
You were.
And it was supposed to stop at Turks and Caicos.
Yep.
And then we found out that only one engine on the boat worked.
Yes. Every time. I mean, that was so great. We're in the middle of a storm.
I was sad to miss the Turks, but I really missed the Caicos because I really wanted some of those.
I've been on three or four of these things now, and every time it's like, we're going there, and never have I been there. So
it's an imaginary. It's an illusion.
Yeah.
Tell us for the people that haven't bumped into you along the way, who are you? What are you about? Tell me about this beautiful family of yours.
Yeah. Well, I am a friend of Bob's, so I don't know much else I need to say.
That won't get you far. I'm just thinking like not even a cup of coffee somewhere. They'll say like, oh, tell him he owes me money. Oh,
in one of your countries that you're like, that you lead, that might get me somewhere. But gosh, I have been married for almost 24 years, and we have four crazy cool kids. Which is the joy of my life. And it's also the thing that is teaching me the most in my life right now. So Malia is 14, Noah's 12. And then we had twins, surprise pregnancy, and they're twins. We call them the twimmen. they turned 10 yesterday. So
congratulations. Yeah.
Cool. We live in Franklin, Tennessee now, and I'm from Orange County, California. And, you know, I knew about Bob way before we became friends, actually, because my friends were actually in his book, Love Does. So they said, hey, we found this guy that's going to let us use his boat. I'm going to ask my girlfriend to marry me. So I'm like, who's this guy? Who's this Yahoo? And so lo and behold, it's like we become friends later in life. I'm like, oh, that was you.
Yes. Ryan in love. I remember that. Yep. And then when we were on the boat with one engine, they were on singing as well, weren't they? Or is that a different one?
That was
different one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just so fun. Now they have teenagers and. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That was on what we've been on two boats together.
Yeah.
That was on the first boat. They played with me. That's right.
Every time I go on these, I'm like kind of extroverted introvert. So when I go and hide in my room, if there's a boat that has a bunch of people on board, I'm usually kind of hiding. And then I'll have the person that's helping out help me make like elephant animals, like whatever they make with the towels. That's like my like ambition. And I think that is a thing we share. I want like the wonder. I want people to just like be like, I wouldn't be a very good magician because I'd want to tell everybody how it worked. Mm. But that idea of engaging people in wonder, and I think you have that about your music, about your life. You've had difficult challenges, but you are a guy that's got his eyes fixed on the joy. How do you navigate between the two of them? Because you're so like joy filled, yet at the same time, you, like all of us, have had things that come up that are setbacks.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that, Bob. I would say. So it's now, people ask me what my story is all the time, and they want me to tell my cancer story. And I say, that is the stupidest story I've ever heard. Like, there's nothing, that's not my story. It's actually seeing like God at work in the midst of it has become my story. So, you know, it was 21 years ago now, which is wild to say. I was given 5 years to live and with this incurable cancer diagnosis, and there are still tumors on my liver today. But guess who keeps waking up? This bald dork over here. Which is
that's so like really not the first thing I think about when I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking a guy who, and I don't know much about the music industry, but you went like a different direction than everybody else. Has that been your whole life that you've gone just like a little bit contrarian where you said, I'm not going to do it in a normal way?
Yeah, I want on my tombstone, I want it to be written disruptor and inviter.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, I guess I was a pastor for a long time in Orange County. I had this great community with great humans. And by the end of my 15-year stint there, I was exhausted. I was such an amazing varsity American Christian, but I was exhausted. All the things that I'd been pimping and pushing like didn't actually work. And this Christian thing just didn't really work. So I got to this place where I'm going, okay, I'm awesome at this, but it's not working for my life. What's this look like? So that's actually when I quit working for Jesus. I literally quit about 10 or 12 years ago. I said, I'm done working for you. This is not what I want to be doing anymore. So I said, I'm just going to hang out and join you. So if I join you, Jesus, and you open cool doors, then great. I'll walk through that. If I just work at Starbucks the rest of my life, awesome. Let's go. And I literally came to that spot because I was so exhausted from doing the religious thing. So anyways, I think that combined with my cancer journey just kind of helped me go, okay, what's actually important? And how do we help people actually get out of this religious thing? And what if Jesus is actually real? So I just started asking myself that question. And the more that I've jumped into this journey, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's way more fun doing it like this than the other thing. So I guess I love the disruption because please disrupt. Bob, you disrupt me as a friend and just watching what you do and what you say. You are a great disruptor of the norm.
What I want to do is people will misunderstand things, all misunderstand things. Yeah. People will be confused, but we don't want to make people feel small just because we've misunderstood them or they've misunderstood us. So I find I'm constantly like watching my tongue, a thing in James about like we can praise God and curse men. I want to be like not snarky with people. I don't want to people that have a different viewpoint on things. I don't feel like I'm Jesus's lawyer. Yes. How do you feel like as a disruptor being constantly misunderstood, how do you navigate that in your personal life?
I guess I feel misunderstood in some ways, but I guess I'm so careful in what sounds so strange, but I don't know how to answer that, Bob. I don't feel that misunderstood actually, which maybe I should be more. I think I'm in the and I'm putting quotes around this, the Christian world. I mean, I'm a Christian music artist. So you hear me on Christian radio or songs I write for people on Christian radio, you know, yet I feel a bit like, a man who has done all the Christian things and it didn't work. And I get to just come alongside people and go, I know, it's exhausting, but what if there's actually life to be had? You know, I love just asking good questions. And to be honest, I think the more that I see Jesus, I go, that guy was a total disruptor, and not just the disruptor that's damning everything around him. I think that's the difference is you've got people that I know really well that are just dammers, just yeah. Like, you know, poking holes and everything, which I love poking holes in things. I think it's really healthy for us. But to poke holes in things and then yet go, well, and there might be more. And I don't know. I don't have it all figured out. Yeah. And Bob, you do that so well.
Yeah, what I want to do is like I'm going back to scripture. So like when somebody says, what's your position on, and then insert whatever the topic of the day is, my answer is usually humble. Like I'm just like, I want to point people towards scripture to say, like, let's like search it and find out. But I don't a lot of the conversations that are the ones that, sometimes evolve into what seem like arguments. They can just be animated conversations. They just don't interest me. I'm like, I'm not above it or beneath it. I'm just like, I just got like, I feel like at 62, I've got an arc left in my life and I just don't want to spend a lot of energy in that direction. And it's not a better thing that I'm doing where I'm focusing my attention. It's a different thing. I've spent the morning talking to our friends that are working with us. I'm on year 22. We were laughing because we met 22 years ago last month and said, stacked hands in Southern India and said, let's just do stuff. And so now they've had a real big setback. And I've been just kind of like checking in to say, what are you learning? What are you feeling right now? If you take a picture of what's going on in India, they put you in jail just because of their setbacks that they're having right now. And so I just want to take a genuine interest in my friends. I'm not smart enough to put everything on the right shelf, but I'm smart enough to say, I'm going to measure my friends by decades, not by like arguments about one thing or another. We've been friends for like, I think the first time you came down to San Diego, or you're nice enough to swim, but that must have been more than a decade ago.
Yeah, it was.
I want to measure friendships that way. Tell me about the friendships that have like, not necessarily the person, but like the hallmarks of the friendships you've cultivated that you've measured in decades. What do you bring to that friendship? What do they bring to you? Because I think that's what the people listening really want to have. We can be disruptors. We can be encouragers, but we all want to have deep friendships.
People talk, you know, in the Christian world, people talk about discipleship, which, you know, that is a very biblical term, which is wonderful. I think the people that have all shaped me and put their thumbprint on me, and I try to tell them as many times as I think about them, thank you for shaping me. I've texted you saying, Bob, just out of the blue going, man, thank you for shaping me.
I remember you doing that.
It's so meaningful to me as I look back and I go, wow, these relationships have shaped me. Even sometimes when I don't have a ton of interaction with them. Like first season, you and I will have a lot of interaction and then nothing for a while and then a lot of interaction. And there's something about even dipping into people's lives that I think we're like mutually aiming each other. I've been aimed by my best friend. So I've got a group of guys that I've known since birth, literally. And they are my favorite humans ever. And they just know me so well. And I realize how rare that is, that I have these humans that have known me for 45 years. Yet I think their gift to me, and then even my new friends, I've got a new group of friends that live here in Franklin. The goal is that I'm aiming their hearts toward who they were created to be and what they're created to be and to do and to wonder. And they're doing the same for me. So I go on a walk every morning with a different guy. Every week. It's been the greatest.
Serious? Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that about you.
It's been so good for my soul. So I've just got this nerdy walk that I do around my neighborhood. And so guys will just come and we walk every morning. Same guys most mornings and a different person every week. And I've just found that they're just aiming me so much into like reshaping the way that my brain is thinking about certain things or how I see God in a certain way. And that has been life-changing in this past season.
One of the things that we get a chance to do is that our memories of one another are like Polaroid snapshots. We have this snapshot. I have a snapshot of you among many in my mind. And we were out in front of a guy's big business and I was going to say something there and you would not let me carry my backpack. I had this Osprey backpack. I never know what I need. So like, you know, I just like throw everything in the backpack, you know, and a shirt for when I like spill on the next thing and a Rubik's cube just because I might need one. And anyway, you and I were like tussling over this backpack. And you really wanted to like have me like not carry that. And I'm just thinking we have these series of snapshots with one another. And I want the snapshots that people in this close friendships that each of us, whether you're listening or it's me and you, we have of one another, of kindness and service and like in safety, that you could be a really safe place. If I felt like I needed to just get real about something, like you'd be a really safe guy. I don't think there'd be judgment. I think there'd be acceptance.
True.
And I want us to cultivate those in our friendships, those snapshots. When I was wakeboarding, well, I could say I had a wakeboard on my feet.
Yes, I'm not sure
I could say I was wakeboarding, but I'd sunk into this, the cold water, and somebody was trying to help me up back into the boat. And instead of holding my hand, like we were shaking hands, like hand to hand, he said, wrist to wrist. And we grabbed wrist to wrist, and he said, this is how God's got you. Like, if you let go, he ain't. And there's something beautiful. And I just think it's a decade later, and I'm thinking we hold each other wrist to wrist, not hand to hand.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's letting go here. This is how God's got us. And it's that snapshot again that shapes us.
Well, can I give a snapshot of you?
I'll feel embarrassed, but yeah, go ahead.
There are a few that are inappropriate, so I won't tell any of those, but there's one that's totally inappropriate. I'm just kidding. Kind of kidding. There's one that is so has been so powerful for me, and I share it all the time with different people. So we had been to Malibu the year before, sadly, she burned. And we were with a group of people, just a great group of humans. I was so honored to be asked to go. And so we're hanging out. Bob's family is all there. His kids are there. And, you know, they're awesome. Gosh, everybody. It was so great. And at the end, we were all, you know, gathered together, and we were kind of huddled up as we were all leaving. And his kids weren't in the huddle at that point. We were like back, you know, by the airport. And we're all kind of huddled together. And Bob, just in the way that you wonder about things, it wasn't a declaration about anything. It was just a, and which is just so shaping. But you said, we were all huddled there, and you said, gosh, I love the way that you guys loved my kids. I can't tell you how much that meant to me. How you just all, you asked my kids questions. You just loved them so well. Like, you were intentional with them. And then you stopped and said, I can't help but think that that's how the Father sees us all the time with his kids. He looks at each of our neighbors and says, gosh, thanks for loving that my kid. Thanks for loving my kid. And I about peed my pants right there. I was like, oh my gosh, that is such a wonder moment where we all have the ability and the gift to lean in and go, oh, the Father's saying, thanks for loving my kids.
Yeah.
That's a snapshot that I have that I've taken. And that's not from you. You didn't come up with that as a like, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to do a little sermon when we're all gathered. You just live with wonder, which I think is everybody that's listening right now. That's the gift. And that's partly why we listen to this, Bob, is that we are, you know, I don't want to be like Bob, but the wonder in Bob, that's the stuff that you are shaping in all of us. And then
uniquely, each one listening is thinking in their own lives, like, what can I bring to the table? If I came over to your house, Tim, I would not come empty handed. I don't know what I'd have in it, like a cantaloupe or something silly, but a Nerf gun. But what I do is I wouldn't come empty handed. And so what I feel like we do when we show up for our friends is don't come empty handed. It's not that you need a sermonette or a Devo or something to do, but just say, this is what I've been thinking about. This is what's going on in my life. This is what I'm curious about right now. Yeah. And to have your head on a swivel, to be thinking about those things so we can actually engage one another, that they feel like, man, I felt like I had this time together. And none of us need information. We need examples.
So good.
And so I think I got all the information I need. I don't know about you, but I'm like, I don't care how many boats are floating on the sea.
Yes.
I don't care if there's four ways to say love in agape, filet, whatever. Good. I just want to give me an example of somebody who's going to fight me for my backpack. Give me somebody, an example, who's going to pull me out of the water and say, God's got you like that. And so I'm just appealing to the people who are listening.
Yeah.
To say, it doesn't need to be deep and profound. It needs to be real, which is deep and profound.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, I love Bob Howe, even in this, you're talking to me, but really there are so many people that are listening to this. And the great invitation here is, who's in your life, whoever's listening to this, and you're so aware of that, but whoever's listening, like, who is in your life at the moment that you could get to just show up for, I love that. That's so great, Bob. Thank you.
Yeah, head on a swivel and then thinking, how might God use me today? When I have a thought or two, I've never written a book. I'm not sure how authors write books. I assemble books and they're little packets of information. Like it's a story about something or something I observed or something somebody taught me along the way. And I just connect them end to end. Eventually there's a book. Yeah. How do you write an album? I know you just have a new album that's out. How do you decide? Like, I don't know anything about how you'd write a song. How do you decide what are the songs? What's your purpose? I imagine it's a different one with each album.
Yeah.
Tell us the album name and why did you write this one?
Well, I wrote 50 plus songs for this record. But the thing that I care the most about in life, it's this thing. It's called 10,000minutes.com. And it's this idea of there are 10,080 minutes in a week. Just trust me or Google it, but I'm right. And
people are counting on their fingers.
Yeah, right now, one, 60 minutes. You're the one. Yeah. But 10,080 minutes in a week. And 80 of those minutes, if you do this, if you're part of a church gathering somewhere, you gather for maybe 80 minutes a week, whether it's a coffee shop or in a building or just at your home, whatever. And if you don't do that, that's also great. But Jesus people have tended to kind of do that type of thing. But then there are 10,000 other minutes. And it's not just what do you do with your 10,000 minutes, you know, it's because then we can jump into, you know, a legalistic thing there. But how do we just be join Jesus in the rest of the 10,000 minutes? Because I'm amazing in the 80 minutes. I mean, hands up, I'm ready to surrender. I'm just all in. But then somebody cuts me off and I go, as I'm leaving that, you know, 80 minute gathering, and I don't want to tell them they're number one. I'll drive by them and I'll literally look at them and with a smile on my face, a good Christian smile. And yet I will say in my heart, I'm better than you. That's contempt. And so I just find myself doing this all the time. I'm like, okay, so what would it look like for me to actually put the ways and the heart and the motive of Jesus into my rhythm of my life? And so we, you know, 10,000 minutes, we put a practice every week in just, it's a Jesus principle that we're trying to put into practice and actually love people well and just join Jesus in the week. And so I wanted to do a record around that. So when I write songs, I'm actually more calling these songs prayers than songs. And I want these songs to be in prayers to be things that we will sing all week long and are reminding me to join Jesus in what he's doing, not inviting him to like into what I'm doing, because it's very microcosmic, but going, okay, you're already at work, apparently. Like, what if it's true? He's already at work. And I just want to join him. So all these songs, that the record's called Here, and I just want to stay present in the present moment in the presence of God. And so these songs are literally my prayers for myself to pray. And thankfully now, you know, everybody gets to pray them. So that's kind of
the just using the idea of being here and being present. Give us some practices. Give us some ideas of things. Like I love when you guys say, be where your feet are. Like, how do you remain present? What are some things that Tim Timmons is doing to just like not get distracted by all the crazy going on, but just be present?
Yeah. So you guys can't necessarily see me, but I write an X on my wrist every single day for the past 10 years. And one of them is just because I woke up again. Like, I'm not supposed to be alive today. And yet I keep waking up and tumors are there, but it's like, I keep waking up. So I keep writing this X. And the other reason is just whatever practice that we're practicing with 10,000 minutes. That's what we're doing. So like even this past week, I've been breathing in Jesus, breathing out, you have my attention all day long. Just Jesus, you have my attention. When somebody cuts me off, Jesus, you have my attention. What are you trying to say here? When my kids, who are amazing humans, but it's also something that tries my patience in all different areas, it's stopping and being sober enough to breathe in, Jesus, you have my attention. And as I've been doing that in these past few years, it is changing the trajectory of my day. I mean, I forget all day long, hence why I write this on my wrist, just as a reminder. Or there's another one that we're practicing all the time. That's, I can either practice trust or I can practice worry, and I get good at what I practice. And so
good.
It's like I practice worry most of my life, and it's in seasons. In this season, I'm going, okay, how about I'm just going to practice trust today, as if God is actually at work in all things, and maybe he, you know, who knows? Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But that's what I'm going to, you know, be found living. So it's just these little simple practices that have been really changing my awareness, not even so much my what I'm doing, but my awareness, and then my doing starts to catch up.
Yeah. And then filled with intention. I know I just called a common buddy of ours a little earlier, and I just called him for no reason. Like there wasn't, I don't want my relationships to be transactional. Oh, by the way, we need to whatever, or are you available to whatever? I just want to just check in and find out, like, you know, who's having a birthday and what's been the high of the week and all that, nothing. And then I said, hey, I have to jump off. I'm going to talk to my friend, Tim.
Yeah.
And there was just really beautiful to make that normative that we just call our friends for no other reason than we're just checking in. And I think that art of just checking in, because it's a showing a genuine interest in people. It's not part of a plan or an agenda or a program. It's the absence of all that. There's nothing on the other side of the equal sign, just a buddy.
So good.
And so I think maybe if you're listening to this, we've been talking about wonder, presence, maybe some practical things, whatever it is that will help you like get more present with the people. Who is it that you need to just give a call to? And it doesn't need to be a big dramatic thing. I need to reconcile this stuff. But if you need to reconcile, if there's some ish out there, like deal with it. Like just, I know it's hard for me too. I go like, no, maybe be kind to yourself and to say, I'm going to make one call in a relationship that's been more challenging. And with no agenda other than to find a new groove rather than the challenging one. And then I'm going to find one call to somebody who's super safe. You call Tim. He's super safe. You call me. Like,
that's my number's on the back of Bob's book. So just call me. Is Tim there?
Yeah. So what if you do these things to be as an act of kindness to yourself, but an act of obedience? Because if you say, I love God, and then you don't love the people that he made, then I'm right back at the thing. You just, how can you say, like, because his whole life is his kids, even the creepy ones, because he made those. These are not like the animal crackers that are missing like pieces. These are like, actually he made all of them, even the ones that are a little prickly. Yeah, they're just a little bit hard to be around, but I say, I'm looking for the virtue in them and I want to make them my teacher. I want to become their student. I don't need to be a student of some of the angst and acrimony, but I want to be a student of how I can like enter into that with palms up, just like no agenda other than I'm here, I'm interested. So Tim, I'm grateful for you. Pick up Tim's album. This isn't an infomercial. This is saying that I got a friend, his name is Tim. He's doing courageous things in his family's life. So he's done beautiful things in my life. And now you know a little bit about the music that he's writing and where it's coming from. And the best way to honor all this is to let that happen in your life. Seek somebody out, make the phone call. Don't agree with us. Make the phone call, make an easy one, make a hard one, and then have your head on the swivel. Maybe go for a walk, maybe write in X, whatever it is that you felt like God touched you. Don't get distracted by the next phone call or the next whatever. Find a wide spot in the road, write it down, do it. Tim, thanks, buddy. I love you.
Love you too, Bob. Thanks, man.
I think one thing that stuck out to me from their conversation is Tim's courage to put out his music. And as we talk about dreaming big dreams, clearing the path, exploring opportunities through the Dream Big framework, ultimately what it comes down to, at some point, you've got to ship your work. You've got to put it out there. You've got to announce it. You've got to share it. You've got to get the feedback. And it's incredibly vulnerable. And with that same courage, that's your charge this week. What is the thing that you're holding on to? Maybe because you're worried about the perception. Maybe you're worried about what people think. Maybe you're worried it's not good enough. Well, you'll never know. You'll never know until you do. So what is it? What can you release? What can you share? And let's be surprised with the wonder of what happens when we do. So thank you for joining us this week. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Dream Big podcast with Bob Goff and friends. All right, let's see if any of this sounds familiar to you. Maybe you feel like you're just kind of dragging through 5 days of work just to get to that weekend because you're feeling worn out. You feel like you're languishing. Maybe you've got a big dream, but you're feeling stuck and distracted by all the things going on in your life. Maybe you know deep down you're meant to live this spontaneous, joy-filled life, but you're just feeling stuck. And there's something about Bob. There's something about Bob and his life and how he thinks and what he does that you're drawn to. Well, you of course read his books, of course listen to the podcast, but we also have a special offer for you. It's called Bob Weekly. And it is what it is. It's Bob coming to you more than once a week with some specific teaching about how to live out your big dreams and taking the next step, about living a more spontaneous life, about getting to the do part of your faith. Maybe you're committed to personal growth and you want to live more alive. That's what this is. Short videos with some guided reflection questions, some structured conversations you can have with close friends. This is Bob at his best, guiding you to figure out what it looks like to live a life that you're meant to live. So, Bob Weekly, all you gotta do is go to the website, sign up. It's less than $9 a month, and Bob's gonna be coming to you. He's gonna come to wherever you are, your phone, your office, your car, and guide you to that life that you're meant to live. So check it out.